Welcome to Money Myths Busted, the Art Market Mirage, debunking myths of investing in art. I'm really intrigued by this topic, you know, because we always hear about these astronomical prices for art. It creates this perception that art is this foolproof investment, a guaranteed path to riches. But is it really?
I mean, personally, I've always been fascinated by the art world, but also a little intimidated by its, shall we say, opaque nature.
Exactly. It's a world shrouded in mystique, right? And that mystique fuels a lot of misconceptions about art as an investment. I've seen firsthand how people can get caught up in the hype, especially when they hear stories about a painting selling for millions. What they often don't see is the underlying mechanics of the market, the risks involved, and frankly, the potential for significant loss.
Right. So today we're going to pull back the curtain, so to speak, and shine a light on how the art market actually works.
Absolutely. We'll explore the factors that drive art prices, the role of auction houses, galleries, and private dealers. We'll also delve into the risks, from market volatility and lack of liquidity to issues of authenticity and provenance. And of course, we'll examine the potential rewards, if any.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that the art market isn't a monolith. There are different segments, primary and secondary markets, each with its own dynamics. And importantly, we'll address the question of whether art is truly a good investment for the average person.
Definitely. We'll look at historical data, case studies, and expert opinions to get a clearer picture. Because, you know, while there are certainly success stories, there are also cautionary tales. A lot of them, actually.
So let's start by dissecting the structure of the art market. It's often described as opaque, even unregulated. How does this lack of transparency impact buyers and sellers?
And what role do intermediaries like auction houses and galleries play in shaping the market?
Well, the lack of transparency definitely creates an uneven playing field, right? It's difficult for newcomers to navigate, and even seasoned collectors can get tripped up. Auction houses and galleries act as gatekeepers, but their interests don't always align with those of the buyers or even the sellers sometimes.
Oh, how so?
Well, think about it. Auction houses make money on commissions, so they're incentivized to drive up prices. And galleries, while they represent artists, also have a profit motive. So there's a potential for, shall we say, creative valuations. And the lack of publicly available sales data makes it hard to assess the true market value of a piece.
I see. So how can someone who's interested in buying art protect themselves? What due diligence should they do?
Research, research, research. Understand the artist's history, their market performance, the provenance of the piece. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Lots of them. And if something seems too good to be true, it probably is. Remember, the art market is rife with forgeries and misattributions.
Right. And what about the legal aspects? We hear stories about money laundering and tax evasion in the art world. How big of a problem is this?
It's a significant issue, unfortunately. The unregulated nature of the market makes it susceptible to illicit activities. And the high value of art makes it an attractive vehicle for moving money around. This contributes to the overall opacity and risk associated with art investment.
So we were talking about the legal murkiness of the art market and how it's a breeding ground for, well, less than savory activities. It makes you wonder, how do you even begin to put a price tag on a piece of art when there's so much hidden beneath the surface?
Right? It's like trying to navigate a maze blindfolded. You've got these astronomical figures being thrown around, but how much of that is real value versus, you know, artificial inflation or worse, outright manipulation? It's a valid question.
Exactly. And that brings us to the tricky issue of art valuation. I mean, I was reading this Wikipedia article on it, and it's fascinating how many factors are supposedly at play. Everything from the artist's reputation to the work's provenance to, get this, the size of the piece.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's almost comical. They're measuring art by the square inch, like it's a piece of real estate, but I guess in a way it is. Wall space is a commodity, especially in those massive collector homes.
True, but still, it seems so reductive. Like, what about the emotional connection to a piece, the sheer aesthetic power? Surely that has some value, right?
Of course, but that's the subjective part, the part that's hard to quantify. And the art market, for all its pretensions, is ultimately driven by cold, hard cash. That's where all these other factors come in, the comparables, the auction house estimates, the dealer manipulations. It's all about creating a perceived value, often detached from the actual artistic merit.
So it's a game then, a game of perception?
Pretty much. And the players are collectors, dealers, auction houses, even critics. They all have a role in shaping the narrative, in influencing what's considered valuable and what's not. I mean, think about it. One glowing review from a prominent critic can send prices skyrocketing.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more expensive a piece becomes, the more desirable it seems.
Exactly. And that's where the danger lies, especially for new collectors. They can get caught up in the hype, paying exorbitant prices for pieces that may not actually be worth that much. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Everyone's afraid to admit they don't see the value.
I mean, looking at some of these legal cases mentioned in the Wikipedia article, like the Estate of Robert Skull case, it's clear that even seasoned collectors can get burned. It's a minefield out there.
It is, and the lack of transparency only makes it worse. No publicly available sales data, creative valuations, backroom deals, it's all very murky. It makes it incredibly difficult to make informed decisions.
So we've been talking about this sort of smoke and mirrors game in the art market, where value is often, shall we say, constructed rather than inherent. It makes you think about the whole idea of art as an investment, right? I mean, is it really?
Yeah, it's a complex question. On the one hand, you have these headline-grabbing sales, Picasso's going for millions, that sort of reinforce the idea of art as this, like, appreciating asset.
But then you dig a little deeper, yeah. And you find this whole other reality.
Exactly. Like, I was just reading this Yale Insights interview with Magnus Riesch, and he talks about how the art market is actually pretty stagnant overall. Something like $60 billion, which, you know, sounds like a lot, but...
It's less than FedEx's annual revenue. I know, right? It really puts things in perspective. He makes this distinction between the top tiny sliver of the market, the blue chip artists, and everyone else. The top 0.1% are doing great, but everyone else is, well, not so much.
It's kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? Especially for those who see art primarily as an investment vehicle. Riesch actually advises against that, which I found refreshing. He says buy art because you love it, because you want to support the artist, not just to make a buck.
Which makes sense. I mean, if you're buying a piece hoping it'll appreciate significantly, you're essentially gambling. And the odds, according to his research, are not in your favor. Unless, of course, you're playing in the high roller room with the Monets and the Warhols.
Right. And even then is a risky game. There's this whole network effect he talks about, how a few key galleries and museums basically dictate what's hot and what's not. So even if you have deep pockets, you're still relying on the whims of a select few. Which brings up another point. How do you even define great art?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Literally. Riesch says it's subjective, a personal judgment, which from an artistic standpoint makes sense. But from an investment perspective, it makes things even murkier. Because if value is essentially determined by a small group of tastemakers, then...
It's all a bit arbitrary, isn't it? Like one... glowing review, one prominent placement in a museum, and suddenly a piece is worth a fortune. It's fascinating, really, how this whole system works.
It is. And it raises some ethical questions, too. Who benefits from this system? Clearly, the artists in that inner circle, the powerful collectors, the gallerists. But what about everyone else? The emerging artists, the smaller galleries, the average art lover who just wants to buy something beautiful without breaking the bank. They're kind of left out in the cold. It makes you wonder if there's a better way, a more equitable system, one that values artistic merit as much as market manipulation.
So this conversation about the art market, it's really fascinating, isn't it? This whole idea of demystifying it, pulling back the curtain.
Yeah, it's like peeking into this exclusive club, right? Where the rules are, shall we say, a little dot flexible.
Exactly. And it's not just about the high rollers, the Picassos and the Warhols. It's about how the average person interacts with art, or perhaps more accurately, doesn't interact with it.
Right. There's this huge disconnect, this intimidation factor. People want to buy art, but they're put off by the lack of transparency, the dot snobbery, almost.
It's like you walk into a gallery and you're immediately bombarded with this unspoken code. You're supposed to just know things like, what's a fair price? Is this a good investment? And often the gallerists aren't exactly helpful.
It's almost like they don't want you to buy anything unless you're already part of the in crowd, which, of course, reinforces the exclusivity of it all, a self-perpetuating cycle.
It is. And then there's this whole issue of valuation, right? How do you even put a price on a piece of art? It's so subjective.
Exactly. And that subjectivity is precisely what makes it so ripe for manipulation. As we heard, a glowing review, a museum placement, dot boom, the price skyrockets.
It's crazy. And it's not always about the artistic merit either. It's about Buzz, hype, who's collecting what? It's a game, really.
A game with very high stakes, and as we've seen, not everyone is playing by the same rules. Which brings us to this idea of the responsible collector. I mean, is that even a thing?
Well, that's what we're hoping for, right? A shift away from purely investment-driven collecting towards something more. Meaningful. Supporting artists, engaging with the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice thought, but realistically, the art market is still driven by money, big money, and that's not likely to change anytime soon.
True. But there are some encouraging signs. The rise of online platforms, the democratization of access to information. It's not perfect, but it's a start.
It is, and hopefully, as more people become aware of the dot mechanics of the art market, the power dynamics might start to shift. Maybe we'll see a more equitable system emerge, one that values artistic merit as much as market hype. One can hope, right?